book of Isaiah, over in the fourth chapter. You've got your Bibles, you can turn with me, and we'll read just a little bit. How many of you are glad to be here? Let me see your hand. All right, I really believe you are. I like John's enthusiasm. He's a Texan all the way. All right, the fourth chapter of the book of Isaiah, the first verse. And in that day, seven women shall take hold of one man, saying, we will eat our own bread and wear our own apparel. Only let us be called by thy name to take away our reproach. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. It shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion and he that remaineth in Jerusalem shall be called holy, even every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. And the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion and upon her assemblies a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For upon all the glory shall be a defense, and there shall be a tabernacle for a shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. All right. The fifth chapter said, now will I sing unto my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill, and he fenced it, and gathered out the stones thereof, and planted it with the choicest vine, and built a tower in the midst of it, and also made a wine press therein, and he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. And now, inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge, I pray you, betwixt me and my vineyard, what could have been done more to my vineyard that I have not done in it? Wherefore, when I look that it should bring forth grapes, brought it forth the wild grapes. And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the hedge thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down, and I will lay it waste. It shall not be pruned nor digged, but there shall come up briars and thorns. I will also command the clouds that there rain no more upon it. And the men of Judah, his pleasant plant, and he looked with judgment, but behold oppression, for righteousness, but behold a cry. Isaiah, in his prophecy, he tells us that God had a vineyard, said he planted himself a vineyard. I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit is speaking through Isaiah. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Here is the Holy Ghost, the same Holy Ghost that I've got tonight. I like that, don't you? I'm glad there ain't but one Holy Ghost. Some woman wrote me not too long ago, wrote me a letter from way off somewhere, and said, Brother Pike, she was glad to get our mail, glad to correspond, but she said, I want to tell you one thing, there's two Holy Ghosts. But I never have met the other one. I just met one of them. That's the only one I know. The only one I care to know is just that one. Anyway, the same Holy Ghost that lived in the days of Isaiah, which was many hundreds of years ago, that same wonderful Holy Ghost that spoke through the bosom of Isaiah is in my bosom today. He lives with me all the time. He never leaves me at any time. He never forsakes me. The time of my sickness, he never forsakes me. In the time of my trouble, he never leaves me. He said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. But lo, I am with thee always, even until the end of the world. That same Holy Ghost that moved upon Isaiah, that same Holy Ghost that moved in the bosom of the prophet, that said, my well-beloved, he is in my heart today. That same Spirit said, I have planted myself a vineyard, speaking of Israel. I have planted myself a vineyard. And remember, when you speak of Israel, you're speaking of Zion, typically speaking. Whatever God said concerning Israel, whatever naturally applies to natural Israel, spiritually applies to spiritual Israel. And so then he says in his word, I have planted myself a vineyard. I have done everything I know to do to my vineyard. I have not left anything undone. Everything that could have been done to my vineyard, he said, haven't I done it? Let the people round about my vineyard, let them be witness that I have done everything that could be done to my vineyard. I have been very careful with it. I have put it in the choice piece of ground. I have picked the best ground that I have to plant my vineyard. I have been so careful. I sent the sunshine upon my vineyard. I sent the rain upon my vineyard. I plowed the fields of my vineyard. And I've been careful to keep the briars out of my vineyard. And I put up a hedge about it to keep away the foxes and to keep away all the things that could tear it down. To my vineyard I have done everything that a man could do. But he said, when I went to get the fruit of my vineyard, he said, I looked for grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. And he was upset, and he said, I can do no more to my vineyard. I have done everything that I can do to my vineyard. But because my vineyard hath brought forth wild grapes, I will tear down the walls of protection. I will do away with the walls of protection. And I'll let the foxes in, and I'll let the wild beasts in. And I'll let the people of the world come in on this vineyard. And I'll let them destroy this vineyard because it does not produce good fruits. And you know, that's exactly what happened to Israel. When you study the history of Israel, you find out that God cuddled and God loved and God did everything that he could. But all Israel ever done was give him trouble. And one day, God just pulled away from Israel. God just took away the hedge like he did in the days of Job. And God took away the fence and God took away the protection. And Nebuchadnezzar come up out of the far country and took Israel into bondage and had him into captivity for 70 years because God took away the hedge of protection. Did you know before God allowed Nebuchadnezzar to do that, that nobody could get to Israel? Nobody could do Israel any harm. God would slay nations. The Bible said he destroyed nations for his vineyard's sake. But when he found out that they were going to produce only sour grapes, then he, or wild grapes, he decided that there's no need to try to care for it any longer. Then he turned to the Gentile people. And what a glorious privilege it was when Paul the Apostle shook his raiment in the days of the New Testament, shook his raiment and turned around and said, your blood be upon your own head, speaking to Israel, and turned around and said, I go to the Gentiles. Hallelujah. What a day for Brother Pike that was. I go to the Gentiles to seek myself a bride, to find myself a bride. My vineyard is brought forth wild grapes. I'm going to let the wild beast destroy it. And I'm going among the Gentiles to get myself a wife. And today Jesus is moving among the Gentiles. And has been moving among the Gentiles for so long. But brethren, sisters, remember the time of the Gentiles was to be fulfilled. Did you know that? That was to come a time. God said to Abraham concerning Egypt and concerning the people of Egypt. He said 430 years and then the iniquity shall be full. Their cup shall be running over at that time. And then I will deliver my people out of the hands of the Egyptians. And so then it's the same way with America today. God has come to the hour to where at this very moment he sees the cup of iniquity filling up. And he spoke of the Roman Catholic powers, speaking of the great whore, He said, I saw the cup of abomination. Her cup was filled with fornication and abomination. And God said, reward her double according to her adulterous, evil, fornicating ways. Reward her double according to it. So I will cast her into a bed and of adultery, and I will let her commit adultery with the kings of the earth, and I will destroy her and the kings, and then, God said, I will kill her children with fire. I will rain fire and brimstone down out of heaven upon them and kill them with fire. And the cup of iniquity concerning the Gentile people is at a point of being filled up. We've come right down to the very last go-round. Right down to the very last strides of religion. God has brought us down to a place to where the big doors is beginning to close. And we that get in will have to hurry. If we've not already got into the kingdom of God, we'll have to hurry. A lot of people say, Brother Pike, I'm waiting for the kingdom of God, and someday when God calls us, I'm going to stand there at the judgment, and we're going to get together, me and the Lord, and decide what's best for me. But Christian friend, remember this. The law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. The kingdom of God has already been here for many long years. And the prophet made the statement, said, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And ever since Calvary, God has been seeking to have his will done in your heart and in my heart. Is that right? God tonight is still seeking to have his will done in your life and in my life. That's why I ask you to sing the song, Do I Love Jesus? Do I Love Jesus? You know, we want God's healing, don't we? But we don't want to live holy. We want God's blessing, but we don't want to frequent God's house. What we would like to do, we'd like for God to heal our bodies, make our bodies strong and healthy, so we can get out into the world, live it up, have the lust of the flesh, enjoy it, down to the very last beer, to the very last little bit of guzzling down the booze, to the last little bit of sucking on a weed, to the last little bit of showing our old nude bodies off, to the last, very last bit of frolicking across the world, trying to make another dollar, getting false prestige. We want God to heal our bodies. We want God to keep us healthy for that, don't we? We want to be a big, robusting person, man or woman, so that we can frolic in the world, breathe in the breath of life real good, be happy and be strong and just frolic and ride and eat and drink, slap everybody else around, you know, and puff up at everybody else, make everybody else bow down to us and have all the money that we can get a hold of. But my friend, that's a false vision. That's a false vision. Let me tell you something. That's a false vision. There won't be any days like that with God's people. That's a false vision. See, God said the healing belongs to the children. I spoke of the healing this morning and faith this morning. And the healing belongs to the children. And God isn't going to give it to the dogs. Somebody say, I love Jesus. And God refers to the world as being dogs out there. One time a woman came to Jesus and she said, Lord, I need healing. And as she got near the Lord Jesus, she wanted healing. And the Lord said, don't you know that healing is the children's bread? That you can't give the children's bread to the dogs? She said, Lord, said the dogs eat of the crumbs. And in so doing, she proved that she wasn't a dog but a daughter. Isn't that right? You say, where do you get that? He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Isn't that right? Hallelujah! So then it's the attitude that we approach God with as to whether we get what we need from Jesus. Isn't that right? If we come to Jesus with a haughty, self-righteous, demanding attitude, the Lord just pushes us aside. But the Bible said God gives more grace to the humble. If we come to God with a humble attitude and we say, Lord, we realize that we're nothing. We don't deserve anything. We don't deserve one thing. Then God will notice us. The trouble with Israel was, Israel comes saying, we are Israel. We are the Jew. We are the people of God. All the rest of them is a bunch of dogs. And we are the people of God. And we have the kingdom. And God said, get away from me. He said, thou who art more holier than thou, get away from me. He said, I'm sick of your Sabbaths. I'm sick of your new moons. I'm sick of your gatherings. I am I'm sick of them, away with them. I cannot stomach them anymore. Said, all of my tables are filled with vomit. Because thou art lukewarm, I will spew thee out of my mouth. And he turned to the Gentiles, and there stood the Gentiles, reckoned as dogs that didn't have any protection whatsoever, didn't have any godliness, but just standing there saying to Paul, we heard you speaking to those Jews over there. We don't know what it's all about. But I tell you what, we'd like to know more about this thing. And God looked down and saw their hearts and said, Paul, go over there and have a conversation with the people. You love Jesus? Jesus went down to the well, got down to the well, and there stood a woman, not a Jew. There stood a woman wanting the waters of salvation. Isn't that right? And she said, I don't understand you. He said, I'm a preacher. I'm a preacher. Didn't say it in our kind of words, you know. Said, I'm a preacher. I'm one of the holiest preachers. I'm a preacher. Said, you must be. Said, because, said, the Samaritans, Jews, they don't have any fellowship. Said, and you're over here having fellowship with me. You must be different from them. He said, I'm not one of them denominational fellows. Come on now. I know he didn't use those words. I knew that wasn't the words Jesus said. But the same spirit that's in me today that was in Jesus, the same spirit refused to link up with the sects of that world, link up with the bodies of that world, with the Pharisees and the scribes of that world. Pulled loose, went over there and refused to carry out the ritualistics of the Jews, and went over there to that woman and stood there and said, I've got water to drink of. If you just had one little swallow of it, you'd never thirst again. Hallelujah. She said, give me some of that water. Give me some of that water, she said. I'll never have to come back here to draw anymore. What a thought, to never have to draw water anymore. When I was a boy out in the country, we used to have to draw water. And it's a pretty big job when it's your job regular to have to go in the evening to draw the water and fill the buckets up, you know. We'd have two or three buckets, and we'd have to fill the buckets up, whether an old cedar or oaken bucket or whatever, we'd have to fill it up so that we could have water. Sometimes we had a gourd dipper, and we'd use that. See, and it would have been a wonderful thought if Brother Michael had come by and said, now, Brother Pike, I got something worked out. You won't never have to go draw that water anymore. Because sometimes, you know, I wasn't too big along then. And I'll tell you, to draw that water out of the deep, deep wells, sometimes in the deep wells, I'd have to draw and draw. You know, it'd have been such a wonderful, consoling thought to me as a youngster. Somebody come by and said, I can do away with that. And this woman thought she had really struck it rich. She said, give me of this water that I'll never have to come here and draw again. Hallelujah. Jesus said, the water that I give unto thee shall be a well of water, rivers of water, springing forth out of your innermost being, that overflows, hallelujah, the deep calling unto the deep at the water spout of God. And out of your innermost being shall come this water that I speak of. Hallelujah. And so out of the wells of salvation, he said that I could draw water with joy. Serving God is joy. How do you know that serving God is joy? Serving God is joy, peace, and righteousness in the Holy Ghost. I serve God with joy. I serve God with peace. I serve God with the strength of the inner power and might of the inner man, Christ Jesus, the same Holy Ghost that spoke through the mouth of Isaiah. Hallelujah. I've got the same water today. I've got the same water that Jesus had. I can say to the people the same things that Jesus said. Isn't that right? I can say today, if you drink of this water, you shall never thirst again. She said, Master, said this water that you talk about, I never heard of this kind of water. Said, Our fathers gave us the wells back here. Jacob and the great ones of old, they dug these wells out of the desert, and they gave us these wells. Jesus said, I know that. Said, and I know that they're great wells. He said, but they're not the kind of well I'm speaking of. Hallelujah. The woman said, but this well is deep. Said, you don't have nothing to draw with. But he said, this well here, it's deep, a lot deeper than that well, but I can still draw. Hallelujah. How are you going to get it out, Jesus? I'll draw water out of the wells of salvation with joy. I'll bring forth waters out of the wells of salvation. You know, the Bible speaks of the waters of separation. You come down to the waters of separation. That's what had happened to the woman. She had come down to the well of salvation. Is that right? And the waters of separation. There is a water of separation. The Bible said when God created the heaven and the earth, being void, being being without form, the Bible said that he put a firmament between the waters. And he divided the waters from the waters because he wanted a water of separation. That's what we need today, is a separating thing. We need to separate the waters one from another. What's wrong with the waters of today? They're running the mud right in with the other. Isn't that right? If they use the separation, get the tares out of the garden, get the mud away from the well, put in a filter. Get a filter. You say, Brother Pike, how could I get a filter? How do you know that you can get a filter? All you got to do is get a filter. Somebody would say, well, what is a filter? How do you understand what a filter is? All you got to do is get a filter. You say, what kind of filter would that be? The Holy Ghost. Get the Holy Ghost. Did you know the Holy Ghost will filter the water? If you get the Holy Ghost, he'll filter the water. All you got to do is just get a filter. You just take the name Jesus and go into these denominational churches and see if it don't filter them out right quick. You start preaching the name Jesus and see if it don't start filtering the waters. And the first news you know, everything will clean up. Come on now. I said, everything will clean up. The Bible speaks of one thing that caused a lot of problems. He said that the sheep, a lot of them, they just went down the water of the cattle and muddied up the water. And then when the sheep come along, they couldn't drink because the waters were muddy. You know, and sheep, they're real particular about what they eat and what they drink. And so then the waters are all muddied up. All of my tables are filled with vomit. All of the lakes of God have been muddied up by the cattle. They've gotten there and tromped around it and muddied it up. And the sheep can't drink. But God said, I'll bring it to a place of waters of separation. I'll bring it down to a place to where I will divide the waters from the waters. And the Bible said he built a firmament in the heights of the heavens. He separated the water from the water. And the Bible teaches that he placed some water above the firmament, some waters below the firmament. I'm glad today that I'm some of them waters that's up above the firmament. I'm glad that when God brought Calvary and put Calvary in the midst of the waters and divided the righteous from the wicked, I'm glad that he called me still waters. And I lead thee, David, beside the still waters, and I will restore thy soul, David. I will lead thee beside the still waters. You know, they used to have a saying that still waters run deep. Still waters run deep. When I was a little boy, I'd go fishing, I'd go down to, you know, to water that wasn't too still. A lot of times I'd get into the wrong place. Well, one thing, I like to fish a little and wiggle my toes in a little bit too, you know. I love to tramp around on the rock. So I love to get over there where something was going on. But you know, you get the still waters, and a lot of times way down deep under that water, there's something to really fish for. I love to go out into the ocean fishing. You get out of the ocean, it's not like going down to a lake. You go down to a lake and you just about size it up in your mind. You say, well, the average fisher, he'll catch such and such and such. But you go out into the ocean and you don't know what you'll catch. You can catch anything from a shark to I don't know what when you get out there. You're liable even to hook into a whale. Isn't that right? That's right. You're liable to get out there and hook into a whale. I believe they got whales in the ocean. They say weighs 100 tons. Why, you're liable to latch onto one of them. You can't ever tell. It's real exciting, you know. You get out there and you throw that hook in the water. Have you ever done that? I've been out on the boat and throw that hook in the water. And I just stand there in suspense. I just be thrilled all over, you know. Because after a while, something would hit that hook. And I tell you what, it would really give it a fit. I think, my land, I don't know what that is. And it's so big, you know. I just imagine that thing is so big. That's the way I love to fish. Hallelujah. Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. That's the way I love to fish. I love to get out there where there's deep waters. Deep waters. I know there's something in those deep waters. I want to get out there where there's deep waters. I also like to see good waters. I don't like to get in muddy water. I like to get away from the shore. Get out where it's deep. Get out where it's settled. Get out where it's clear. You know, and if there's any mud terrapins or whatever that's down the bottom that's muddying it up, you don't get it up here. You don't get up here. Still got plenty of clear, fresh water way up here that you can fish in. Go swimming in or whatever you want to do. That's the kind of waters I like. That's the kind of waters Jesus liked. How would you like to go out here and take a bath in dirty, muddy water? You wouldn't like that, would you? When God told Naaman, said, go down there to them waters. Said, now, I want you to dip down in waters. They were muddy waters. Naaman didn't like that. Naaman said, there's some lakes over here at Fafar in Damascus. Said, why don't we take a bath in that over there? Why come I can't go swimming over there? But see, that wasn't what God was trying to get over to him. God was trying to let Naaman know that he was just as muddy as those waters.
God wanted Naaman to know that he was just as muddy as the water that he was putting him into. Isn't that right? He didn't have any right to the waters of Pharah in Damascus because he's muddy himself. The Bible speaks of the beast, and when he speaks of the beast, said, I looked, and I saw him coming up out of the waters. I saw the beast come up out of the waters. Listen, I want to tell you something tonight. There is what God calls the waters of separation. And some of you are going to be the waters out of which that beast comes. Did you know that? Did you know the Bible says that they that are not born again are brute beasts made to be taken and burned? Out of those waters, those muddy, cloudy waters, is going to come that beast that is not a son of God. From the garden fall, I said he's been on his belly. That's all of his labor for his belly, because his belly craves it of him. And the Bible said he's made his belly his God. But I'm glad I made Jesus my God. David said, let their belly be a snare unto them. Let their table be a snare unto them. But I'm glad tonight that my table's not a snare unto me. I've got Christ tonight, hallelujah, for my God. I've chosen the God of Isaac, the God of Abraham. I've chosen the God, the same God that they had way back yonder in the old days when he told Noah to build an ark. When he took Elijah on a trip in a fiery chariot. The same God that caught Moses up on the mountain and caused the mountain to burn with fire. That's my God tonight. The same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm serving the same God, and that's my God tonight is Jesus. Jesus. Hallelujah. Just go into some of these places if you want to see the waters of separation and you want to see God do something. Just go in there, and when you get in there, you'll see the waters begin to separate. Hallelujah. I go into a town and I say, I come in my Father's name. If somebody else had come in the Baptist name, you'd have received them. Somebody say, I love Jesus. I said, if you come in the name of the Church of God, they'd receive you. If you come in the name of the Pentecostals, they'd receive you. Come in the name of the Catholics, the Presbyterians, they'd receive you. Brother, come in the name of the Methodists, they'll receive you. But I tell you what, come in the name of Jesus and they'll reject you. Devils and demons will reject you if you go in your Father's name. That's the waters of separation, and God built a firmament in the heavens. I'm glad that he lifted Jesus up. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. I will draw all men unto me, for if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And when God hanged Jesus between heaven and earth, the waters separated. Hallelujah. The waters separated, and he put a firmament in the heavens, a middle wall of partition. He put it up there, and he separated the waters from the waters. And today there's holy waters up here. There's heavenly waters up here. There's spiritual waters up here. Somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, I don't see where there's any separation between the waters. I don't see where that's at. Because the ones say, well, you look up there, why, there's no waters up there. Why, the Bible must be wrong, because there's no waters. But see, if you'll just look close enough, after a while, you'll see them drifting around in a little fluffy ball. That's right. The sun will draw them up there, and them waters up there that's in that little fluffy cloud-like ball, they're separated from these waters down here. Isn't that right? They're drifting around up there because those waters are separated from these waters. Those waters are heavenly waters. Hallelujah. They've escaped the gravitational powers and bonds of death. Isn't that right? And they're up there. Hallelujah. They're not down here. They're up there. Something has happened to them. That's the way it is with us. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we begin to melt down and vaporize. You know, be an old hard crust, can't get along with nobody, can't do anything. But brothers and sisters, when God brings the Spirit down upon you, you begin to melt down and begin to vaporize. You become a heavenly creature. You get lighter and lighter. When God spoke to Peter, Peter got so light, he just walked on the waves, just walked on the water. Isn't that right? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he could walk on the water. Today, I walk on the water. I walk on the water. The waters of separation, I walk right over the top of them. Why? Because I have been chosen of the Lord. I set my heart in Christ. I keep my mind on Jesus. And the Bible said, he that keeps his mind stayed on Christ Jesus shall have perfect peace. So I just keep on walking on the water. Hallelujah. You love Jesus? All right. So it's good to be a Christian, hallelujah, and feel the presence of God and to know that you're amongst the waters of separation and that you're on the right side. So then, in the sprinkling of the waters, the burnt heifer
and the sprinkling of the waters, God brought about the waters of separation. There was a separating place. There is a place of separation. If I'm going to be clean waters, I've got to stay away from the mud. Now, you say, but Brother Pike, Naaman found the virtue in the muddy waters. Now, as far as the world is concerned, we're the muddy waters. Isn't that right? As far as Naaman was concerned, as far as the world is concerned, we're all muddied up. They said, well, they don't have any education, they don't have any money, bunch of morons, bunch of ignorant people, all muddied up, you know. They're killers and murderers and liars and cheats, and we're polished scholars, got a PhD. We are right out of college. We've got money, we've got prestige, we've got everything, but they're all muddied up. See, but what it is, it's like the old witch that looked on the wall saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? See, it's the same principles. It looks good. It looks all right. It looks all right. You know, she'll stand there and she'll say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? You know, for many long years, that mirror's answered back, why, them polished up folks is the fairest. Why, they've got the new cars and they've got the lipstick and they've got the paint and they've got the frolics. They've got the frocks. Why, they're the fairest of them. They've got the pretty churches. Our little Catholic whore, she's the fairest of them all. That old mirror just keeps on answering back. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. The world, for many years, the world has looked into the mirror of God. And it's answered back, thou art the fairest of them all. Why? Because he said, Lucifer, you, I made you more beautiful than anything in heaven. I raised you up. There's a fairest thing in heaven, a covering cherub. But when you fell down to earth, you're still the fairest tree in the garden, the most beautiful tree in the garden. But you lifted yourself up there in the garden, and from that time, even the fall, still Lucifer and all of his people being prince of this earth, the prince of this world, Jesus said, still the fairest of them all, still the fairest of them all. Everything belonging to him because he is the prince of this government of today. So then every time he looks into the mirror of life and he says, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? That mirror say, Lucifer, you are. You're the prince of this world. You're the prince of this world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But you know, why is the prince of this world? There's one reason. Amen. The real princess got the poison apple. Isn't that right? Dug down to the wrong thing. Went to sleep. Dug down to the wrong apple. Got into that which was wormy. Got down to the wrong thing. The devil enticed her. The witch enticed her. Saying, eat. It's all right if you eat. It's all right. Just a little sip of the world's all right. Just mix a little bit. You know, you don't have to have much. But the Bible said the little foxes spoil the vine. Just a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. It's all right if you suck on a weed a little bit, chew the cud a little bit. It's all right if you watch non-virtuous things on TV a little bit. It's all right if you listen to a little rock and roll. That's all right. Just take a little bit of it. And the first news you know, you're dead. You're dead. And finally, Eve found herself dead. Isn't that right? And finally, Adam, who represented that beautiful lady, found himself dead. See, eating from the poison apple. And the mirror said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? Lucifer! He's the fairest of them all. But you know, it's about time for Prince Charming to come. Hallelujah. Glory to God. One day, the little story says that Prince Charming went by. Hallelujah. And he went by over there and he began to remember Snow White. He began to remember. You know, I spoke about this. You take them little dross, seven dross around it to me. They represent the church ages. Everything represents something in God. The seven church ages watching over that church, watching over that beautiful young lady, watching over that without spot, without wrinkle, and without blemish. He said, I will wash thee as white as the snow. I, my blood, will wash thee as white as the snow. What is white as the snow? That's Snow White. Hallelujah, that's the church. That's Snow White. And so then God's creation had fallen asleep. Adam, the son of God, had fallen asleep. Isn't that right? Went hard and fast asleep. But one day Prince Charming will come by. Hallelujah. One day Prince Charming will come by. He's coming by. He's walking through the earth right now. Hallelujah. Like the little song we wrote. And he's searching right now. He's looking for that bride right now. And one day Prince Charming, he came by according to the little story. And he just reached over and gave her a sweet kiss. Hallelujah. The Bible said, greet each other with a kiss of charity. Isn't that right? That kiss of charity. He just reached over and he gave Snow White that kiss of charity. When he did, her eyes come open. And Snow White looked up and there stood the Prince Charming that she'd longed for. The Bible said we don't know what he looks like, but when he appears, we know that we shall be like him. For we shall see him as he is. Hallelujah. For we shall see him when he, our life, appears. We shall be like him. Hallelujah. When Prince Charming appeared, it was the life of Snow White. And so then when Christ appears in all of his radiance and glory, he will be our very life. When he, our life, appears, we will see him as he is. Hallelujah. And one little kiss of charity, and Snow White opened her big, beautiful eyes. Hallelujah. Somebody say, what kind of eyes is that? Them big, beautiful God eyes of understanding that can comprehend the heights and the depth and the width and look right into eternity. Hallelujah. So them great, big, beautiful eyes was opened up, and she saw him as he was. Hallelujah. She saw him as he was. Hallelujah. So then the mirror on the wall, all of a sudden, that old bewitching witch, Paul said, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? That old witch went up to the wall. You know, she's camouflaged herself with lipstick and with rouge and with pretty clothes and everything. And even John, when he saw her, the Bible said he marveled at her. Said she was so beautifully arrayed in all of the things of the world. But he literally marveled at her. And the angel said, John, why didst thou marvel? Come, I will show thee the mystery of the great whore that sit upon many waters. The waters of separation. Hallelujah. God has separated the waters from the waters and put a firmament in between. And we've got to stay with God. We've got to stay on the side that God is on. And we've got to be separated as God separated the Red Sea by that east wind when it came in there and heaped that water up, the waters of separation, that we might pass right on through there. Hallelujah. And so then when she said, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all? It said, not you, Lucifer, but Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He is the first of them all. Not the prince of this world, but the prince of life. Hallelujah. You know, I made the statement, you know, if Jesus, if God, that is, if God, the Spirit, if God, if he is existence, he had a beginning. If he has a beginning, then he has an end. Everything that's existent has to have an end because it has to have a beginning. The Bible said in the beginning, is that right? Everything that has a beginning has to have an end. But see, God is not existence. God created. God brought about the act of existence. But God is not existence. Then what is God? God is life. God is life. Hallelujah. Life has no beginning. Life has no end. God is life. He's a beautiful state of being, life. He was, he is, he shall be, even from everlasting to everlasting. Before the world was, I am, he said. Hallelujah. So then he's life. Somebody said, well, wait, Brother Pike, what about me? I'm life. God gave me life. I had a beginning. I've got an end. But you're not life. Come on now. I said, you're not life. The Bible didn't say God gave you life. Where'd you read that? The Bible said God breathed into your nostrils the breath of life. All you are is the breath of life. The Bible said man's life, his breath, who's in his, what, that's in his nostrils. Take, just put a handkerchief over your nose, cup your mouth, get a good jolt. Like this little boy, long years ago, climbed up in a black gum tree, got way up in it, hanging down by the limb of the limb, was too big, I fell. When I fell a long ways, fell on my back. When I fell on my back, I thought I was dead because all of the life went out of me. I learned a lesson there at an early age. Brother, there ain't nothing in this body but just a breath of life. God breathed in the nostrils of man, into his nostrils, and he became a living soul. But I want you to know that when Jesus breathed, he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. On the day of Pentecost. Receive ye life. Hallelujah. Not a breath of life. I'm not standing with a breath of life in my nostrils tonight. But I'm standing with God inside tonight. I'm standing with life in me tonight. I have life on the inside of me, beloved friend. I'm born to the Shekinah glory of the living God. Born to never die, having passed from life unto death. I don't have to die. So then God is not existence. You are existence. And it would behoove you to make a change. Hallelujah. It would behoove you to make a change. The old witch is beginning to learn that there's somebody else that's fairer.
He said, Brother Pike, what was it that mirror always said, Lucifer? You're the prettiest. Why was it that it did not show up her hideous, bewitching ways? Why is that? Why was it just the beauty of it was seen? Because of the grace, because of the mercy, because of the blood on the atonement seat, isn't it right? That's why it did that. It was because of Jesus. It's because Snow White was asleep. See, as long as the church is asleep, as long as Snow White's asleep, you say, well, they're not asleep. The Bible said at the midnight cry that was asleep. All of them was asleep at the midnight cry. But when Prince Charming came, hallelujah, he woke them up. The virgin was asleep. Hallelujah. So then, it is a true fact that Snow White has been asleep. And the mirror said, thou art the fairest of them all. But Snow White is getting up. Put on thy garments, hallelujah. Thy lovely garments. I will give thee beauty for ashes. I'll take away your imperfections. Put on your beautiful garments, Zion. Hallelujah. Put on those beautiful garments. God has planted a vineyard. And that vineyard is the vineyard of the church. And that vineyard is not going to give sour grapes. That vineyard is going to give good grapes. Good grapes, hallelujah. And they went into Canaan and they got the good grapes. And they came back shouting victory because they had received the good grapes. Hallelujah. So then the mirror of life is beginning to say, and they said, who is the fairest of them all? Who is the fairest of them all? And that mirror is beginning to answer back the church. Everything's growing dark. Everything's passing away. Everything's looking bad. People are dying with sickness. When they got ready to come out of Egypt, sicknesses and sorrows, heartaches. They said, give them your money, give them your gold, give them your silver. Give everything you got because everything's looking dark, everything's looking bad. But see, the Bible said when gross darkness covers the people, them eyes of understanding come open. And that one that is walking in the light as he is in the light, the day is fairer. And the day star dawns brighter and brighter. It will shine. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Brighter and brighter it will shine until the millennium, which is the perfect day. Until the day star dawns within your heart, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So then Snow White is waking up. The church ages are over. The protections of the little drop is over. And now she's got Prince Charming to look after. Isn't that right? Hallelujah! She don't need the messengers of the church ages anymore. She's got Christ himself. The Son sevenfold in the end time. The revelation of God watching over her. Hallelujah! Praise God in the last days. He's here. He's here and he's everywhere. Hallelujah. And he has been here all the time. For Paul said he is above you, he's in you, and he's through you. Mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all? Snow White. Hallelujah. Who is Snow White? I will wash you whiter than the snow. God's Snow White. Hallelujah. I want you to stand with me. How beautiful are the feet of them that bring glad tidings of great joy, publishing peace upon the mountains. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Ain't you happy? I'm happy. How could I be anything but happy when I know him and I know about him and I know what he's promised me and I know what he's doing? Hallelujah. I stand here and I look through the door and I see the beautiful, lovely fountain with all of its beautiful rainbow colors. I think about the throne of God, the covenant that God made, you know, the rainbow, the beautiful covenant that God made with Noah. And I look at it, and I think, how beautiful heaven must be. How beautiful heaven must be. The song said, home of the happy, home of the happy, and home of the free. How beautiful heaven must be. Glory to God. Glory to God. You ought to come up here in heaven sometime. It is so beautiful. It is so beautiful.